I'm Phil C.
And I'm Lynn.
And together,
we're Roman Oz.
Real interviews.
With real people.
On location.
With a great mix of Aussie music.
As requested by the people we interview.
Follow us on Facebook.
Or check us out, romanoz.com.au.
So, Phil, what's on the show this week?
Well, Lynn, we're in Dubbo on this program, and I'm going to tell the listeners about some fabulous things to see and do around Dubbo, in particular the historical Dubbo Jail.
Right. And then we're going to catch up with Andrew and Julie from Zoo to Zoo, and we met them at Terramungamine.
And next?
Oh, and next, we actually got to go to the ABC studios and chat with Nick. And he did a story on us live on air.
All about us. This is going to be fun. I'll be listening to him all about myself and you, of course.
Oh, yes. I didn't say much, though.
No. And lastly, listeners, we are going to catch up with Barry Brebner. Now, he has written two fabulous books all about travelling Australia and working in Australia. And the first book we're going to be talking about is a number called Workabout Australia.
Oh, that sounds interesting.
Now, Lynn, don't forget, we also have a fabulous selection of Aussie music.
Yes.
As selected by
our people we interview.
That's it, as selected by the people we interview. So, Lynn, what do you think?
On with the show.
G'day, listeners. Phil C here, and I'm going to tell you some of the incredible things that are available to do in Dubbo, okay? Now, most people think of Dubbo, and the first thing that immediately pops into head is Taronga Western Plains Zoo. Now, it's an absolutely fantastic place to go, okay? And I have been there myself a couple of times. Absolutely brilliant. I mean, you really get to see these animals up close and personal. There's no bars, there's no cages. And the way they've set it up, you can either hire a cart and drive around, or hire a bicycle, or take your own car and drive around. Absolute must for the family and the kids. Now, I'm going to tell you a bit about that in a moment. Now, we've also got the incredible Old Dubbo Jail, and I've been there as well. Absolutely brilliant place to go. A lot of history, a lot of heritage there. We've got the Japanese Garden. Now, I've not been to that one, but I will tell you a little bit about it. We've also got the Royal Flying Doctor Service Visitor Experience. There is the Dubbo Observatory for all those people that are interested in studying the stars. There's Red Earth Estate. Alrighty, and there's just so much to do, okay? Now, we've got the Dubbo Visitor Information Centre, which, of course, that's the place you've got to go if you want to find out all about these places. Now, there's the Western Plains Cultural Centre. There's the Arana Mall for anybody who wants to go shopping. You've got the Macquarie Regional Library if you just want to kick back and maybe read a book or just relax, you know, get out of the Dubbo heat. You've got the Lazy River Estate. You have the Macquarie River. There's the Riversdale Shopping Centre. Look, there is so many things to see and do in Dubbo. And if you think it's just Western Plains Zoo, I've got news for you, okay? Now, I am going to tell you all about one of my favourites there, apart from the zoo, of course. That is my most favourite. But what I'm going to tell you about now is the Old Dubbo Jail. Now, at the moment, listeners, the jail is closed because of the COVID situation, okay? But for future reference, just a little bit about the jail, okay? Now, you get to explore the jail in your own time, or you can catch literally the characters in costume as they dare to outsmart the jail warden, okay? So, for some tall tales and performances by an animated wardens and prisoners, check out their tours and performances schedule. Now, the entertaining stories on prison life and their attempts to break out. Good behaviour is rewarded, so purchase your tickets in advance online and receive a 10% discount. Now, the jail is normally open 7 days a week from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. It's closed on Christmas Day. Very, very reasonably priced, okay, the admissions. And unfortunately, as I said, because of COVID, you know, at this situation, at this time, you can't actually go there. But it's definitely a place not to be missed. So a little bit more of information about the jail. The Old Dubbo Jail is a heritage-listed former jail. and now a museum and tourist attraction. Okay, now it's located at 90 Macquarie Street, Dubbo, in the Dubbo Regional Council, and of course, Dubbo is in New South Wales. Everybody, of course, would know that. Now, the jail was designed by the New South Wales Colonial Architects Office, and it was built from 1847 to 1945 by James Atkinson Jr. Now, the jail is also known as the Dubbo Jail. The building was added to the New South Wales State Heritage Building Register on March of 2004. Now, the building was the second jail in Dubbo, replacing lockups built way back in the 1800s, 1847 to 1862. Now, when closed, the government New South Wales planned its demolition and replaced it with a multi-storey office block. So the old Dubbo Jail was erected on the site of the original courthouse. It's believed to have been officially opened back in 1887. Now, many of the buildings, however, were already in existence by this time, so many changes and new buildings followed. The surrounding walls also changed shape. Now, closed as a jail in 1966, I believe, the complex reopened as a tourist attraction in 1974. Now, back in 2015, the old Dubbo Jail won a silver prize in the cultural tourism category of the 12th Travel Inland Tourist Awards. The jail was inducted into the Tourism Hall of Fame. Now, in August of 2016, the jail was closed to allow extensive restorations and renovations on the site. Now, the old Dubbo Jail is a small, compact jail located within the central business district of Dubbo. So now the old Dubbo Jail is a state heritage listed must-see attraction in Dubbo. It's remarkable. It's a complete and intact jail. Now it's operated for 119 years from 1847 to 1966. This set of 19th and 20th century jail buildings create an experience with bringing history to life. It's incredible. Now the regional jail is a representative of powerful, surprising, dark moments in Australian prison history. The house, importance, collections such as the largest collection of handmade ropes in Australia and unforgettable experiences such as the eerie silence of the dark cells and the bird's eye view from the watchtower. With guided tours, night tours, and theatrical experiences on offer. And I've seen this, folks. The people that dress up in character and wander around the place really is something to see. Now, the old Dubbo Jail is a rare piece of history open to explore. Twilight and Beyond the Grave night tours run during New South Wales school holidays. Now, bookings for this one, folks, are most definitely essential. Oh, well, there you go, listeners. A little bit of information about the old Dubbo Jail. Now, stick around. I'm going to play you a song now made famous by John Williamson, okay? It's a track called Botany Bay, and it sort of describes all about the prisoners who came to this country, and a lot of them probably would have spent some time there in the good old Dubbo Jail. So stick around. We'll be back with more Roaming Oz straight after this song, listeners.
Farewell to old England forever, farewell to my rum culls as well, farewell to the well-known Old Bailey, where I used for to cut such a swell, singing, Tooralai, ooralai, addity, singing, Tooralai, ooralai, ay, singing, Tooralai, ooralai, addity. We're bound for Botany Bay. Tain't leaving old England we cares about, tain't cause we misspells what we knows, but because we all light-fingered gentry hops about with a log on our toes, singing Tooralai, ooralai, addity, singing Tooralai, ooralai, ay, singing Tooralai, ooralai, addity, we're bound for Botany Bay. Now the captain, as is our commander, the bosun and all the ship's crew are the first and the second class passengers. Knows what we poor convicts go through, singing Tooralai, ooralai, edity. Singing Tooralai, ooralai, hey. Singing Tooralai, ooralai, edity. We're bound for Botany Bay. Oh, had I the wings of a turtle dove, I'd soar on my pinion so high. Slap bang to the arms of my Polly love, and in her sweet presence I'd die. Singing Tooralai, ooralai, edity. Singing Tooralai, ooralai, hey. Singing Tooralai, ooralai, edity. We're bound for Botany Bay. So come all you young dukies and duchesses, take warning from what I've to say. Mind all is your own as your touches is, or you'll find us in Botany Bay. Singing Tooralai, ooralai, edity. Singing Tooralai, ooralai, ay. Singing Tooralai, ooralai, edity. We're bound for Botany Bay. Singing Tooralai, ooralai, edity. Singing Tooralai, ooralai, ay. Singing Tooralai, ooralai, edity. We're bound for Botany Bay.
Hello, listeners. Phil C here with my lovely other half, Lynn. And we are at the Tarangamine Reserve in Tarangamine. Is that correct? Is that where we are?
We are, Phil, just outside Dubbo. It's a beautiful part of the world.
All right. And I'm with Andrew and Julie from Zoo to Zoo. Now, tell us all about Zoo to Zoo, guys.
Well, the Zoo to Zoo started in 2006 as a bike ride from Taronga Zoo in Sydney to Taronga Western Plains Zoo in Dubbo.
Okay.
And it was going to be a one-off event, you know, get the t-shirt, tick the box, move on.
Right.
But we decided to do it again in 2007, and it has grown to be what it is today, which is a series of rides that go between zoos.
Right.
Which is between Sydney and Dubbo, Canberra and Mogo down the south coast.
Okay.
Melbourne, Dubbo, and even London, Paris. So a good way to spend a few days on the bike.
Okay, so what's the idea of Zoo to Zoo? It's other than just great exercise and seeing lovely places. Julie, would you like to answer that, do you think? Or should we leave it with Andrew Andrew at this point?
Oh, I think Andrew would be the authority on what the point of Zoo to Zoo is.
All right, so obviously then, it's apart from the exercise, seeing wonderful places, what is Zoo to Zoo all about?
So the Zoo to Zoo started, as I said, in 2006. We've supported a number of charities over the years. We supported the Kids Cancer Institute in 2006, which is a great charity that raises awareness and also funds to look for cures for childhood cancers. And then we raised money for the Dubbo Maternity Ward. And in 2008, the Dubbo Taronga Plains Zoo, the Tasmanian Devil Appeal. And then in 2009... we started supporting the Black Dog Institute.
Okay.
And we've supported them ever since. And all the charities they've supported are fantastic. And the Black Dog is like that. They just help so many people who suffer from mental illness.
Mental illness.
Which is...
depression, anxiety.
Yes, schizophrenia, things like that. That just, unfortunately, affects so many people in the wider community. And it's also breaking down the stigma. So if someone goes to work and they've got a broken arm, they'll get a lot of sympathy from their colleagues, or they've got a broken leg. But unfortunately, traditionally, if someone does have issues with depression or mental illness, it's almost seen as there's a stigma attached.
Yes.
And so it's breaking down that to say that there is help available, and because it affects one in five people, that means that basically everybody is affected by it, whether it's a work colleague, a family friend, And there is so much help out there that people just have to basically not only ask for it, but also look out for your mates.
Yes.
Because you can just see how people's mood changes, and they might be a bit withdrawn. They might be a bit more, you know, outward sort of. It's like, oh, hang on,
extrovert.
Yeah, when they're supposed to be a bit more introvert. You know, hang on, what's going on there? So it's really looking out for people. And back in 2009, when we started supporting the Black Dog Institute, they had a campaign, Exercise Your Mood. And it was just really saying that if you do go out for a bike ride or a paddle or a walk, you release endorphins and you just basically feel better.
Feel better, yes.
Yeah, so that's what the Zoo to Zoo support now is the Black Dog Institute.
Okay, and apart from that, though, which is a great cause, of course, the things that you do, it's not only riding a bike, you also mentioned you do the paddling.
Yes. Yeah, so we have a great group here in Dubbo called Wom Dom Nom. We maintain that if Dubbo ever gets renamed, they wouldn't call it Dubbo, they would call it Dubbo or Macquarie.
Uh-huh.
A bit like Strathfont upon Avon, Henley on Thames.
Yes.
But they would refer to it as Dom, D-O-M, rather than Dubbo Macquarie. They do the same with Wellington and also with Narromine. And because those three towns and cities in Western New South Wales are so reliant on the Macquarie River, we do a paddle over 4 days in November.
Yes.
Down the Macquarie, starting in Wellington, Wom, going through Dubbo, Dom, ending in Narromine, Nom. So it's the Wom Dom Nom.
Wom Dom Nom.
And the website, womdomnom.com. So, okay. And again, we support the Black Dog Institute because it's another sporting event, and it, you know, there's so much work to be done in that field.
In that field. And I guess it's at one stage, because we mentioned before, it was considered to be like the sickness or the disease of the new millennium. But depression, anxiety, I mean, even the name, Black Dog, that was Winston Churchill's term for how he described his own depression. So depression is something that's been around for a long time. And I guess a lot of people not really understanding what was wrong with them initially, and or even being too proud to admit that they were depressed, or feeling anxious. So it was just, oh, I'm just having a bad day. Yeah. But it's okay to have a bad day. But, of course, when bad days turn into bad weeks and bad months, that's when things can really get nasty, isn't it?
That's right. And Julie and I have done some community training so we can go to Rotary clubs and CWA groups and do a presentation on behalf of the Black Dog, not to say that we're professionals in that field, but just to sort of, but there is a difference between having a bad day because your football team lost on Friday night.
Yes.
Then when it becomes prolonged and you've got day after day, and there is so much help available, and this releasing endorphins, it's make sure that if you do have a bad day at work, go for a bike ride, go for a walk, do whatever, and then so that at least the next day you can start afresh and not compound the issue. So, yes, but as you said, Winston Churchill and a lot of people in history do write about it, and and luckily now it's in the media quite a bit, and there is a lot of help available.
I guess the thing too to consider is if you are suffering with one of these conditions, rather than obviously going for a ride, going for a walk, that's all positive. But I guess the most important thing would be to seek some sort of medical help, wouldn't it?
Yep.
Talk to your family doctor, to the GP.
Absolutely.
And, okay, he can put you on something which will help and maybe bring you to a level place.
Yep.
But then doing the other things on top of that is probably, in my opinion, more positive than actually just taking a pill every day.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, and a lot of people probably rely on a pill because when you're in that sort of space or in that sort of place, you know, it sounds great, let's go for a walk. But some people don't even feel like getting out of bed, let alone go for a walk.
That can actually be the struggle, can't it? It's like you've got to be motivated enough to get up, get changed, get out the door and put one foot in front of the other. And if that's the blocker, that you just don't have that motivation or desire or don't have someone to go with you, even, you know, getting somebody to get out the door when they really don't want to can be a major challenge. So, yes, that's part of the work that the Black Dog does is doing research into these disorders so that other organisations like Beyond Blue can better support people in their, you know, in their time of need.
Mm-hmm.
So when you do reach out, you're getting a range of strategies, not just one, yeah. just the go to your GP, take the pill.
Yes.
But, you know, they've got a lot of really good online diagnostic tools and support strategies so that if you're somebody who doesn't want to take the pill,
yes,
but you need some help to get over or to get motivated to do the other things, then there's a whole range of online tools that you can access.
Okay. And so you've been associated with this group for a long time, and obviously you're going to continue doing it because it's such a great cause. How much money do you think you guys would have raised on these various things you've done, the rides and so on and so forth?
I think it's close to $2 million so far.
$2
million. Yeah, so it's, yes, and that's because we do get a lot of support from obviously the riders, the paddlers and their businesses as well.
Yes.
So, and yeah, so and a lot of
and
our
friends
riders
and family,
yeah,
friends and family,
very generous, yep,
absolutely. So it's and that and a lot of that sort of money, especially that the Black Dog puts into these community presentations. So people, if they need to sort of send someone out to Galagambone to do a talk,
yes,
and it might cost $15,000 in terms of accommodation, flights and all that sort of thing, well, mm-hmm. there's that money available to be able to do that, as opposed to the people of Galagambone having to come up with that money to
Fantastic.
Then get that presenter out there. So, and yeah, as Julia said, that the amount of research that is going into mental illness these days mm-hmm. and breaking down the stigma is crucial. And it's, and you know, there's that fantastic day in September, Are You Okay Day, because
yes,
it's important to
yes.
look out for your mates, because
Absolutely.
it's pretty hard for someone to go to the GP, but it's maybe encouraging someone else to go, so make sure that, you know, you go with your friend and all that sort of stuff.
Well, mate, this has been a wonderful talk. I'd love to keep going with it, but I'm sort of running out of time. My presenter over there, my producer's giving me the wind-up. So what we're going to do is I'm going to play you an Aussie song before we finish, but Andrew and Julie from Zoo to Zoo, is there any websites? You mentioned the one I could hardly pronounce. What was that one? The
WomDomNom.com.
WomDomNom.
WomDomNom, Wellington on Macquarie, Dubbo on Macquarie, Narromine on Macquarie.com.
.com. And
also Zoo to Zoo with numerical two. So zoo, numerical two, zoo.com.
Okay. So fantastic. And then, of course, there's the Black Dog itself.
Absolutely. Blackdog.org, I think, .au, I think it's their website. But okay. yeah, if you Google Black Dog Institute, it'll be up the top of the Google search. So, yes, and they're a great organisation. And anybody who wants to get in contact, please do so.
Great causes. Fantastic. And that's what you need to do, listeners. Check those web addresses out, okay? Andrew and Julie from Zoo to Zoo, thank you so much for taking the time. The most amazing people we're meeting on the road here at Tarungamine Reserve. Did I say it right?
Terramunga Mine. Very, very close.
I've got to admit, I'm pretty ordinary when it comes to some of these local town names. So thank you so much for your time. What can I play for you? What's your favourite Aussie song?
Oh, we've got a great band, Australian band, that's originally from Dubbo, Thirsty Merc. So if you could play 20 Good Reasons, Phil, that would be fantastic.
It's a pleasure. Thank you so much for taking some time, Andrew and Julie from Zoo to Zoo.
Thank you.
Stick around, listeners. After Thirsty Merc's 20 Good Reasons, we'll be back with more Roman Oz.
I wrote that book. I climbed that wall. I had one look, but you just came around to say hello. The streets were filled with guilty hearts. And here was I right from the start, and I lost everything when I lost you. I'm
was no pain, there was no sky, there was no rainfall. All there was you and your sweet face. But life is life, and things will change, like scenes upon an actor's stage. Tomorrow comes today, for all we know. So tell me, baby, why should I let you go? Give me 20 good reasons I need to know, yeah. Give me 20 good reasons. Give me 20 good reasons. Give me 20 good reasons to let you go.
Now, for years now, Phil Kahle has been heard on community radio with his incredibly popular Aussie Flashback show, highlighting some of the best classic Aussie music that you can get in your ears. Now, right now, Phil and partner Lynn are on the road for something a little bit different. That road has brought them to my studio. Good morning, both of you.
Hello.
Good morning.
How are you, my friend? Thanks for having us in the studio this
morning. It is great to chat this morning.
Uh-huh.
On the road.
Yes.
What, about 7 weeks now?
7, 8 weeks, yeah.
Seven, 8 weeks.
Well, we left on the 1st of February,
yep,
didn't we?
That's correct,
yep,
yes.
Yep, 1st of February we left.
What have you been doing while you've been on the road? I hear you've been collecting some stories.
Absolutely. Look, we're launching our own radio travel show based on the success of my music program, Aussie Flashbacks, and it's going to be called Roam in Oz. Now, every single town that we've stopped at, we have spoken to travellers. We've spoken to travellers with different styles of accommodation, like a rooftop tent to a $200,000 motorhome with all the bells and whistles. Press a button, the whole thing lifts off the ground if you need to change a tyre. And all the other interesting things that you have to see and do when you go to various towns.
I've often heard that you can guess the age of who's driving by what their accommodation looks like attached to things. If you can see a swag in the back of the ute, he's probably in his 20s.
Correct.
If there's a rooftop tent, maybe in the 30s.
Yes.
By the time that motorhome rolls around, you've got a good indication.
You've got a good indication, absolutely. And also the style of motorhome, you know. When you see a motorhome that rolls in that looks like it belongs to the Starship Enterprise, and like we interviewed a chap at
Coromel.
That was at Coromel, and he had this rig called a Habitat 2.
Was that the brand name, or was that what he called it?
No, that was actually the brand name. And when we went inside this thing, the bed was suspended in up at the ceiling. So for more seating, he had like seating for 8 people in this thing, and the bed was suspended. So you press a button, and the bed drops down when you're ready to go to sleep at night, and had a shower and toilet, and then diesel heating, diesel cooktop. It was apparently an unboggable vehicle.
Oh, I could put that to the test. Don't you worry about that. Unboggable's like a challenge to me.
Okay. Well, he before he bought it, he said, well, I'm going to take this thing to hell and back. And, he said, I want to make sure we're not going to get stuck anywhere. So they apparently just took it on some torture track and buried it to the beyond the wheels. And it...
They got it out.
Yeah. It drove itself out by the gearing and the gear. It's got an 8-speed gearbox and a couple of diffs, and we couldn't bog it.
Now, you're both seasoned travellers, I'm guessing. Yeah. Is it just been on those road trips where you've thought, well, hang on, we're just meeting all of these incredible people?
Lynn, you can answer that one.
Sometimes. Well, Phil's more the talker than what I am. I just sort of sit in the background, and he's the one that asks all the questions.
I heard you were the navigator.
Yes, I am. I tend to, track our travels, yes. I've got to say,
without Lynn, I'd probably... We recently moved from Sydney up to the mid-north coast where we're now living, and it took me a year to find Bunnings without my GPS. So,
Bunnings in Taree, it's very easy. You just take a couple of turns and you're there. But
that's true. You see, I have a GPS, and lots of travellers do have a GPS, and the problem with GPS is they'll get you there. But there's no guarantee how long it's going to take to get there. So everything is on a GPS is a journey within itself.
Yeah, the thing with a GPS is you've got to know where you want to go. Correct. But a map is a bit of a joy for being able to look and see those town names. So I spoke to someone just yesterday. There's a music festival coming out to Mudgee Way, and they're calling it Next Exit. And it's named after when you're on the road and here's a town you've never heard of, Next Exit, but you never take it. You've always got to be somewhere. Yes. You're always still driving where you're supposed to be.
Correct.
What if we did take a bit more of a deep breath, slow everything down, and actually take those exits or look at the map and drop a pin and hope for the best?
Look, I love to do that. And the thing is, because I've got a four-wheel drive, I've got a 76 Series Land Cruiser, which is pretty unbreakable. And the thing is, I always want to go to that next step. If I see a road, curiosity's... I have to venture down that road, which could become a track, which could become a very narrow track that has.
Which at the moment could become a very muddy track.
Well, it could become a muddy track, could become a river, who knows? But I have that sense of adventure, whereas Lynn's a lot more grounded. So, in order for us to get anywhere, I merely say to Lynn, look, this is what I'd like to see. What do you want to see? And Lynn will plot an itinerary.
And I can tell that the end of every road, you're finding a story.
Absolutely, absolutely. Look, and I guess, like Lynn says that I could talk underwater with a mouthful of marbles. So I will find a story anywhere with anybody because I just walk up to them as if I've known them forever. They immediately sort of feel relaxed and it's like, so what are you doing? How long have you been doing this for? Tell us about your truck. And every guy travelling wants to talk about his truck.
Of course. And lie
about his fuel consumption.
Oh, yeah. I only filled up 4 days ago. Yeah.
Well, that's it. Yeah. Oh, look, I can get 20 kilometres, to the 100 out of this thing. It's just, But no, look, we love travelling. Lynn's done some overseas trips before we got together, and I've done some Australian trips. And then when we got together, we thought, well, and especially now with COVID, of course, nobody can travel anywhere. And even in Australia, like, for example, this time last year, we were in South Australia, weren't we, Lynn?
Well, you would have been in South Australia for quite a while this time last year, no?
I badgered him and said, let's get home. Oof. So we got home just before the borders shut.
Because what happened was, I'm the sort of person, I said, look, Lynn, we've come this far. What are they going to do? Lock us out? And they would have done that. Lynn said, no, let's turn around. So we had to get out of South Australia and out of Victoria. And we just did it all before everything got shut. And thank heavens, because we could have been there for months.
It could have been for months, very, very much so. I always find it fascinating talking to people who are on the road, because everyone's travelling for a slightly different reason. Yes. Everyone's travelling in their own kind of unique way. I think everyone's journey is special to them. But I love knowing why they're on the road. It's just amazing. I used to live in WA and having people come through, it was incredible to be able to catch up with people who'd been driving, up to the top of WA from New South Wales.
Yep.
Why? I love it. Why do you get that drive? What's the travel bug for the pair of you?
Oh, just to get out and see different things. I don't think Phil likes being home that much.
No, I don't.
Doesn't like doing the lawns. He'd rather be out on the road driving.
Reluctantly. Look, I love to drive. In my 20s, I drove a bus around Sydney. So I just love to drive. And I love to see places. And when I was younger, I used to sit there with maps and books, and I'd look at things like Wave Rock, and I'd say, I'm going to go there one day, you know. And we haven't been to Wave Rock yet. And in my early 20s, I had this fantasy, I'm going to travel across Nullarbor Plain. Well, I would have probably been a statistic, because the vehicle that I had in my 20s barely made it to...
Mind you, we're going back 40 years ago.
Well, we are going back. A bit over 40 years, actually. Shh, Lynn, quiet. You said you don't like to talk. So I love to travel, and I guess there isn't anything in Australia that I don't want to see. But I guess the things that I do want to see are things that are a little bit out there.
Yeah. You know,
our caravan's a four-wheel drive vehicle. Our car is the same. I want to do so many places. And the thing is, you meet so many lovely people on the road. And sitting around a campfire at... It's always 5 o'clock somewhere in the world. And whenever I look at the thing and I go, hey, it's time for a beer, and they go, Lynn will say, it's not 5 o'clock yet. And I go, oh, standard line for me is, well, yeah, it is in the Philippines. So we always find an excuse for Lynn to have a wine, me to have a beer or something, sit around, meet people around the campfire and talk. Travelling is great.
Travelling is great. Let's talk about these stories again. Yeah. Rome and Oz. Yes. How many have you managed to put together so far? How much of raw audio have you got?
I have actually got in the can, so to speak, 45 interviews that are already edited. And I must say, I very rarely do an edit because I'm so relaxed about it, and the person is so relaxed with me that it's like a 10-minute conversation, like we're having now. Yeah. I mean, we don't need to edit any of this. And at the end of every program, at the end of every interview, I'll say, now, I've got to play your song. It's got to be Aussie. Aussie's the best country in the world, and all I play is Aussie flashbacks.com.au. Little plug there.
I saw that.
And... And then they'll give me an Aussie song and we'll end the interview. So a segment usually runs for about 12, 14 minutes, including a song. Now, we've been on the road for about 7, 8 weeks and I've got 45 interviews already.
Amazing.
Already. Now, I mean, in Silverton alone, I did five. We did the Silverton Hotel. We did the Outback Camels. We did the Mad Max Museum. We did John Dynan's art gallery. There's four in Broken Hill. We did the Palace Hotel because we're going to go back for the Broken Hill Festival, and we interviewed a travel guy who takes them all out in his tour bus. So for travellers who think, what do we see when we go to Silverton? I mean, they might hear about the Mad Max Museum and the Silverton Hotel, but to actually talk to Peter and Patsy, who own the Silverton Hotel, find out why they actually bought the Silverton Hotel, because they were plumbers from Adelaide. Amazing little story.
It is an amazing
and
story.
And these people are real characters.
Yeah.
With real stories to tell that people want to hear. And I believe by them listening to that, they're going to want to go to somewhere like Silverton and meet Peter and Patsy and go, tell us all about it. We heard from Phil C and Lynn on Rome and Oz. All about these places.
So I know you're still working on the website, but yes. Rome and Oz, yes. We can find it on Facebook. We can get the updates, yes, know when it's coming.
Absolutely.
Phil C and Lynn, talk about characters. Lovely to meet both of you, and I cannot wait to hear what comes out of it. Stay safe on the road. Where are you off to next?
Yes. Where are we off to, Lynn? Navigator, where are we going next?
Well, we're sort of a little bit stuck at the moment because of all the rain and everything. We are going via Bourke and to Lightning Ridge.
To catch up with Mel and Susie.
They are fabulous.
Yes. Incidentally, just let me interrupt quickly because I know we're almost out of time. We are doing a live broadcast from Mel and Susie's house in Lightning Ridge for my Aussie music program, and Mel and Susie are going to be my co-hosts. It's going to be a hoot.
It is going to be quite a hoot.
Absolutely.
Knowing those two.
They're lovely ladies. They really are.
It was incredible meeting you both. Be safe. Yes. Enjoy the road.
Alrighty. Thank you so much.
Phil C and Lynn, check out Rome and Oz. Find it on Facebook. Get all the updates and aussieflashbacks.com.au.
With overseas travel in lockdown, there's no better time to see what's offering in your own backyard. And if you want to do it in style with all the bells and whistles, then 7th Street Caravans, located at 2212 Pacific Highway, Heatherbrae, is where the journey begins. Check out their range, Paramount, Silver Valley, Road Trip and Option RV. With dozens of layouts, there's something for everyone's needs.
7th Street also has a large range of pre-loved vans. They won't be beaten on price, so grab yourself a knockout deal today. Phone Aidan and the team on 4987 5288 or check out the website 7thstreetcaravans.com.au.
Well, hello, listeners. Phil C here, and this is Roaming Oz, and we've got a very special guest on the phones today, an author of two incredible books. I think they're a must-have book if you're a traveller around Australia. His name is Barry Bremner. How are you today, Barry?
Very good, thank you, Phil. Excellent, actually.
Fantastic. Welcome to the program, my friend.
Thanks very much, and thanks very much for having me.
Oh, look, having seen these two books, my friend, I think it's extremely important that my listeners find out all about these two incredible books you've written. One is called Work About Australia, and the other one, Workers on the Wallaby. Now, before we get into the books, Barry, tell us a little bit about yourself and how these books actually came to fruition.
Oh, Phil, look, I was working for the government with the Department of Employment.
Mm-hmm.
And I spent 30 years with them, and I started off in Shepparton in Victoria.
Right.
And, you know, that's a great seasonal location there. They recruited thousands of workers, came in, and in the winter did the pruning, in the summer did the picking.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we had the canneries and that sort of thing going full bore.
Yes.
And anyway, from Shepparton, I was the 2IC there, and I went then to Hamilton in Victoria as the manager of the CES office.
Right.
And, you know, whilst we had some seasonal work there, we also had the wharf area of Portland, which was under my control. And, you know, I watched the shipments come and go there from the agricultural industries and that sort of thing. And then I came to Dubbo in 1972. And when I look back, those years in Dubbo were very important because, you know, we had cotton growing at Bourke and Warren. We had fruit growing at Bourke and the Nindi and Narromine. The tourism industry was big. We had a great abattoirs here in Dubbo. And the employment needs were, you know, they were everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And in 1993, I was at a conference in Canberra, and I was called into the into an office to meet with the director of the department, and told that at the time I was the area director for Western New South Wales, so I controlled all the employment offices between Broken Hill and Lithgow,
right,
and between Moree and Albury.
Uh huh.
And they advised me that they were going to amalgamate my area with Newcastle and have it make it one big area office.
Okay.
And I knew it wouldn't work, and it didn't. They changed it a couple of years later, but they wanted me to move to Canberra or Sydney, and I did have a wife and five children.
Mm-hmm.
And here in Dubbo, they were all in pony club and school and that sort of thing. So I decided to leave the department and set up Work About Australia because I believe that, you know, there was just so much opportunity in my experience in the places I'd been.
Right.
That I'd start looking across the whole country. And that sort of started, I established Work About Australia and worked for a couple of years on the first book, and it was published in 1996.
Right.
With 78 locations around Australia.
Okay.
And in 2011, the last Work About Australia was published because mm-hmm. everything went on the internet.
Yes.
And I had over 200 locations.
Wow. And this is incredible. And you actually travelled yourself personally to all of these locations to put this book together and to yes. verify all the information to be true and correct.
Correct, yeah. Yeah. My wife and I, Colleen, we both established Work About Australia, as I say, 78 locations. They were probably the most popular tourist seasonal ones that I knew at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, as Work About Australia became known, I had both people who purchased the book would contact me and say, look, we've been to X place.
Yes.
And they need workers. And I also, employers from around the country started contacting me and saying, you know, we've heard about your book. We should be in it.
Okay.
So Colin and I would pack up the caravan and head off around Australia for a few weeks and go to that location, do the research, make the contacts there so I could have names and phone numbers of people that people who purchased the book could yes. actually you know, ring up and tee up a job.
Okay,
fantastic. And so that's how I got to 200 locations and information on about 500,000 jobs that occur across the country.
500,000 jobs. Look, that is an incredible number, isn't it? Like, I speak to people all the time that are travelling, and some people full-time live on the road, and some of these people that are living on the road full-time, and they've got a bit of a, I guess you'd call it an itinerary. They sort of chase the jobs, and they know what they can get here and there, and it's like, I'm going to be 3 months doing this, and then I'm moving up there, and I'm going to do that. And then, so they really are. What a way to see Australia is what's actually written on the front of your book, and what a way to write the book. You actually travelled around to all of these places.
Well, what happened, you know, I believe that there was a new world out there for people who want to take advantage of it.
And yes.
The other interesting thing, Phil, was that, you know, we've got some just unbelievable tourist, you know, locations where you know, many people, unless they travel like that, would not see.
Okay.
And I look back on our lucky time when we were travelling.
Mm-hmm.
You know, places like the Horizontal Waterfalls, the Bungle Bungle.
Yes.
You know, the Great Ocean Road in Victoria. Every state has these sorts of interesting places for people to go.
Right.
And not far away would be work available if they wanted it.
That's incredible. Because you think most people that aren't aware that the work is out there. I mean, some people don't want to work. They're fully retired. They're fully cashed up and they're happy to just travel. But then I'm meeting younger and younger people all the time, young families. And I think, how do you do this? And a lot of people are actually wanting to do it, but don't know how to
go about finding
work and funding their trip or their lifestyle, if you want, that they've now chosen to raise
That's
their family,
right.
homeschool, bring the kids up on the road. But it's like, wow, how do I do this? How can I make this happen? So a book like Work About Australia would be definitely something that these people should get onto, shouldn't it?
Yeah, well, I must admit, you know, there is a Work About Australia club which I established back in 1993.
Okay,
that is still current.
Okay,
if people wanted to have a look at Work About Australia, they put out the same as I do. They put out a bulletin every Friday on jobs that are across Australia.
Wow, that's
jobs
incredible.
In caravan parks, in industry, you know, drivers. There's just a gambit of them all the time. And I get the bulletin every Friday and have a look at it with interest because I actually founded it, you know.
That's amazing.
And there's just so much opportunity out there, but that's workaboutaustralia.com.au.
Right.
And, you know, with relation to some of these locations, like, you know, it's surprising. Even a state like Tasmania would have over a dozen locations.
Yes.
And the interesting thing is with Tassie in the early parts, you know, I didn't know a lot about Tasmania, but they heard about my book.
Mm-hmm.
And I think back in those days, the Tasmanian government contacted me and they took me across to Tasmania with my wife and we explored Tassie. We went to different locations. We found out about their work and they've got about a dozen locations there. And, you know, The other interesting thing is, Phil, that the work is not only at one time of the year.
Right.
It's, you know, in many, like in the fruit industry, for instance, and the grapes, you know, there's pruning in the winter. You know, then there's harvesting in the summer.
Right.
And so there's just so much opportunity out there.
Mm-hmm.
And the other interesting thing is that, you know, I've looked over the years at, you know, the problems some of these areas have with floods and droughts and bushfires and, you know, different climatic conditions,
mm-hmm.
such as a hailstorm.
Right.
I've seen where, you know, a hailstorm's occurred just before harvest and, you know, you've got hundreds and hundreds of people there waiting to harvest the cherries and a hailstorm's gone through and wiped out the crop. I can remember it well.
Mm-hmm.
And the interesting thing is about all that, these areas bounce back.
Yes.
You know, they've got great resilience. They're used to people coming in and working and
mm-hmm.
and they bounce back. They've got a big heart, these people.
Yep, that's true. And this book of yours, Work About Australia, it covers every state of Australia. You've mentioned Tasmania. It covers every single state within Australia?
Yes, it does. Queensland, for instance,
yes,
has got 50 locations.
okay.
from one end to the other.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the sugar industry, the fruit and veggie industry, the cotton industry,
yes.
the tourism industry, which is often forgotten. But
mm-hmm.
in this time of COVID, Phil,
yep.
You know, a lot of people remember the, you know the problems that we've got with the tourist industry at the present moment.
Yes, yes. Yeah, well, that's... The tourist industry's pretty much been decimated, hasn't it? Especially overseas travel. Obviously, we can't because we used to rely a lot, didn't we, on backpackers coming in from overseas to do all these types of jobs.
Yeah, well, that's the thing that they're not coming at the moment.
No,
and
no.
I'm reading and hearing on the news the problems associated with some of our agricultural industries where they can't get labour.
Yes,
and you know it's. Just interesting that they've got to look to locals. And
mm-hmm.
You mentioned earlier on in our discussion,
yep.
Phil, about, you know, people who have retired.
Yes.
And I know in my travels, a lot of people said, you know, oh, I'm too old.
Yep.
And certainly that is not the answer.
No.
You know, there are so many opportunities for older people who have retired and
mm-hmm.
perhaps bought their caravan and would like to work and travel and
yes.
see some of Australia or all of Australia.
Okay.
You know, there is that opportunity for them.
Okay. So what would you say is in this book for, say, an older person? Because you do get a lot of the retired nomads and they want to travel, but then they find once they're on the road that they get a little bit bored with it and they think, geez, you know, they want to get to do some work to still feel as if they're contributing and not having to eat too much into their funds either. So for
yeah,
an older
yeah.
retired couple, what would you suggest?
Well, I think there's a number of things.
Okay.
One is to perhaps get some skills before you go.
Okay.
And use the skills that you've acquired over the years. Like,
right.
Let's say if you're a forklift driver, it's
okay.
not a heavy job, but,
okay.
You know, if you had a forklift license, for instance.
Yes.
If you were good at meeting people and you wanted to do some barista work, serving in a coffee shop.
Mm-hmm.
The other one that there's a lot of opportunities for, and I see them advertised every week, is working in caravan parks.
Okay.
You know, cleaning.
Yes.
Working in the office. A couple, you know, if you went in a lot of these jobs, they employ both of you,
mm-hmm.
you know, the
mm-hmm.
man and his wife.
Yes.
And the man does the toilets and in the busy time and the lady does the office.
Okay.
That sort of thing.
Okay.
And, you know, responsible service of alcohol.
Okay.
You know, if you've had experience in a hotel or a club or something like that, serving beer, those sorts of opportunities are out there as well.
Okay.
I mean, I believe that it's possible to travel Australia and work for many years and not go to the same place twice.
Wow. Okay. Well, you said 500,000 jobs, you said.
Yeah.
At the start.
When I tallied up, when I finished up with Work About Australia in 2011,
mm-hmm.
I retired.
Yes.
And, I counted the jobs that occurred, in my view, in my book.
Okay.
And it was about 500,000 jobs.
Wow.
And one thing I might mention, Phil, is that people need to make sure
yep.
they have the right attitude.
Okay. Okay.
Attitude is very important. When you go into an area, have a go.
Yep.
You know, test your skills.
Okay.
Don't be afraid to put your hand up. You know
well,
what I mean?
I do know what you mean. Yeah.
That's what employers out there like.
Okay.
That's what they want. They want people that are going to have a go, come in and join them, see that business boom, and do their best. And that's all people want, is they want people to do their best.
Fantastic. Well, I've got to tell you, I think, Barry, you've definitely done your best with this first book, Workabout. I keep saying Walkabout.
Walkabout.
It's a long way to
walk about Australia.
Yeah, yes, it is a long way to walkabout. And what a way to see Australia. Work your way around this country. An incredible book. And we're going to – is there anything else you think that we may have missed you want to just – in relation to this book, or do you think we've covered it? Because it's written for every state.
As a matter of fact, it's the book really – the last book I wrote – was in 2011.
Yes.
I don't know whether you'd be able to buy a copy now anywhere, Phil, because the people that purchased the business from me, Warren and Justine Williams, they're on the internet.
You
can contact them.
Okay.
If people want to join Workabout Australia and get an email every Friday with, jobs galore, that's the way to go.
Definitely.
And, it's not expensive. So feel free to contact Workabout Australia if they want to.
So that's workaboutaustralia.com.au?
Correct. Yeah,
okay, right, yes. Yep.
And, it'll tell them about it. I get people still contact me, Phil, with relation to talk about work. I mean, Colleen and I did the Brisbane, Sydney, Melbourne and Adelaide caravan and tourist shows every year.
Right.
We ran seminars for people who wanted to travel around Australia and work and give out information. I'm certainly happy for anybody who wanted to contact me personally for help or advice or information. I'm only too willing to talk to them.
So what would be the best way to contact you? Just via your email, Barry?
Well, I think the email's probably the easiest because I'm tied up with Rotary and other community affairs and, the mobile's probably, I'm on it a fair bit.
Yes.
But certainly my email address, can I give it out?
Of course
now,
you can. Yes, do it right now, Barry.
All right. Well, my email address is Barry, B-A-R-R-Y, dot, Brebner, B-R-E-B-N-E-R, 43@gmail.com.
Okay.
If they go onto Facebook and try Barry Brebner from Dubbo, they'll find me and I'd love to hear from anybody.
Okay. Absolutely fantastic. Barry, thank you so much for taking the time to chat with us today. We are going to talk to you again next week. We want to talk about your workers on the Wallaby. So before we wind this section up, all about Workabout Australia, can I play your favourite song just to end this segment? Have you got a favourite Australian singer or band that you like?
Oh, I do, mate. I had a lot to do with Slim Dusty in the old days when he was alive.
Okay.
And I was on a committee with Phil, and I've got an autographed photo sitting here in my room.
Okay.
I'd love you to play Pub With No Beer for me.
All right. We'll do that for you right now. Barry, thank you so much for your time. And we're going to catch up with you next week to talk all about your other book, Workers on the Wallaby. Thank you so much, Barry.
Thanks, Bill. Thanks very much.
Thank you so much. Now, stick around, listeners. We're going to be back with more Roman Oz straight after Slim Dusty's Pub With No Beer.
Oh, it's a lonesome away from your kindred and all, by the campfire at night, where hear the wild dingoes call. But there's a nothing so lonesome, morbid or drear, than to stand in the bar of a pub with no beer. Now the publican's anxious for the quota to come, and there's a far away look on the face of the bum. The mate's gone all cranky and the cook's acting queer. Oh, what a terrible place is a pub with no beer. Then the stockman rides up with his dry, dusty throat. He breasts up to the bar and pulls a wad from his coat. But the smile on his face quickly turns to a sneer as the barman says sadly, the pub's got no beer. Then the swaggy comes in, smothered in dust and flies. He throws down his roll and rubs the sweat from his eyes. But when he is told, he says, what's this I hear? I've trudged 50 blamin' miles to a pub with no beer. Now there's a dog on the veranda, for his master he waits. But the boss is inside, drinking wine with his mates. He hurries for cover, and he cringes in fear. It's no place for a dog, round a pub with no beer. And old Billy the blacksmith, the first time in his life, why he's gone home cold sober to his darling wife. He walks in the kitchen, she says, you're early, Bill dear. But then he breaks down and tells her the pub's got no beer. Oh, it's hard to believe
that there's customers still, but the money's still tinkling in the old ancient till. The Wyandots are happy, and I know they're sincere when they say they don't care if the pub's got no beer. So it's a lonesome away from your kindred and all, by the campfire at night, where the wild dingoes call. But there's a nothing so lonesome, morbid or drear, than to stand in the bar of that pub with a no beer.
We hope you enjoyed the show, listeners.
If you missed any, check out our Facebook page, Spotify, or romanoz.com.au.
Tune in next week for more
Roman Oz.